Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy, and as promised, I've got some back-to-school tips for you parents, and also a little story for you. Yes, a personal story about something that I used the other day with my son, and when I used it, I thought to myself, I should probably tell people on the podcast about this because it's something I don't think I've ever done an episode on before, but it's a clever little trick, and I know I've talked about it, like I've said it, and I said, oh, just do this, but I found out that sometimes I talk really fast, and sometimes when I say something, parents can't go back and find the actual episode I said about it. So I'm doing an actual episode on it today, and the subject has to do with social chores, or aka social experiments. So let me start by telling you the story, how I got my son to do something just the other day to help him talk to other kids around him and to make a new friend. So what happened was my wife's company, every summer, at the end of the summer, they do a big party and they rent out a space at the local minor league baseball team called the Bees. So we go to this party. We're up in this area. There's food. There's everybody there. There's the families. So obviously there's gonna be kids there with everybody. So one family in particular had kids that were about my kid's age. So my daughter, she remembered the girl from last year that was about her age, and they're both teenagers. And so they quickly started talking again, rekindled their friendship. Next thing you know, they're walking around the ballpark, they're hanging out, and they're best buddies, having a great time. My son, however, who's 9 years old, about to be 10, he didn't really remember the other kid from the family too much, and it's a girl. And so, you know, he just kind of wasn't really talking to her that much. And, you know, he was asking me, hey, Dad, can I play a game on your phone? Because we'd been there for like an hour and a half, and he's been kind of sitting there, not doing much. And I said, no, I want you to be social. I want you to hang out. He said, oh, there's no one to talk to. There's nothing to do. And I looked right next to him. This girl walked up and sat right next to him, just kind of sitting there looking at him because she remembered him from the year before. And she's like, hey, he's about my same age. He's someone I can hang out and talk to. And so he was just sitting there not talking to her. And this was going on for about 5 minutes, and she walked away. And so when she was gone, he asked me, hey, can I play with your phone? So I was almost about to say, yeah, I guess for a little bit, because the game's getting pretty close to getting over. But then I saw the girl come back and sit there, and I was like, well, why don't you talk to her? He's like, no, I don't want to. And I said, this is interesting, because my son is a very social kid. I've trained him at a very young age to not be addicted to cell phone and video games. But every day he challenges that. It's almost like he wants to be addicted. He's like, Dad, can I play a video game? Can I play? I'm like, no, son, you cannot. So he's not too hard on me. He doesn't ask me and my wife too much and beg and throw temper tantrums if he can't, because he's not addicted to it. He's not used to doing it that much. But he's like, hey, doesn't hurt to take a shot. So this time when he took a shot and he asked me, I saw the girl sit next to him and I go, no, I want you to talk to her. Again, he said, I don't know. I don't have anything to talk to her about. And I said, why don't you start by asking her what her favorite games are and, you know, what school she goes to and stuff like that. He's like, no, I don't really want to. Now, I wasn't asking for the video game anymore because he knew I wouldn't give it to him. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. And he perks up and he looks at me. He's like, I wasn't expecting a deal to come from this. So I said, if you start a conversation with her, and if you talk to her the rest of the time we're here, because she's really nice, I'm sure you guys would get along really well, but you haven't really given her a chance. You haven't talked to her. And she's just been hanging out next to you, kind of hoping you'd talk, because both parents were like, hey, you guys should hang out, talk to each other. And she was sitting there kind of waiting for him to like instigate something, because I could tell she's a little bit shyer. I go, if you start a conversation with her and you start talking to her, I guarantee you'll have things in common. I guarantee you'll be able to, you know, just have a good conversation. Before you know it, the baseball game will be over. And if you do that, then when we get inside the car, I'll let you play on a video game. He likes the Roblox. I'll let you play Roblox on the drive home, because it's like a 20-25 minute drive home. He's like, really? He's like, okay, I'll do that. I said, here's the thing though. You gotta really like try to talk to her. And once you get her open up and talk, keep on talking. Don't just ask her a couple questions and turn back and say, all right, that's it. Because that'd make her feel weird and embarrassed. Like, just, you know, try to start a conversation with her and see where it goes, and do your best to try to talk to her the rest of the time that we're here. And I'll be sitting here watching. So he goes, okay, so what do I start with? I said, you know, what school, you know, what games you like to play? He's like, okay. And he just looks over at her. She's sitting next to him, looking in different direction. He goes, so what games you like to play? She didn't even know he was talking to her. I said, son, tap her on the shoulder, call her name, look her in the eyes, and say it again. Well, he did it the second time. And she goes, well, talking about board games or video games? He goes, huh. So, well, I guess both. Start with video games. So she goes, like, Minecraft? And he was like, I like Minecraft too. Like, what's your favorite thing? And so she started saying about it. And she goes, what video games do you like? He goes, well, I also like to play Roblox. And he goes, you play this game? And she goes, no, I haven't played the game. So they started talking about it. And then she's like, okay, what board game do you like now? And so he's like, oh, I like this one. He's like, what's your favorite board game? She's like, I like this one. He'd played that too. Then they found little commonalities within that. For about the next 15, 20 minutes, they had a really good conversation. And I was so proud of my son for a number of different things. When we left and we walked out with this family, I could tell that the girl was smiling. She was in a better mood. My son wasn't asking to play with the video game. He wasn't asking about like when we're going to leave or anything like that. Because it was, by the way, it was like 100 degrees. It was so hot, so I couldn't blame him. But he wasn't asking the whole entire time to leave. But at the end, I thought he was going to ask to leave. But he was so caught up in just having this conversation with someone his own age. It made the time go by faster. And it was way more interesting than him just locking in and, you know, playing a video game that he's played before. So on the way home, before I gave him the phone, I said, hey, son, tell me the highs and lows of talking to her. He goes, well, the low was, it was actually, there was no low. He goes, I wasn't going to say low as it was hard to talk to her, but you're right, Dad. As soon as I started talking to her, then she started talking to me too. And then it got really easy and, you know, became super like chill. She was actually really nice. And he goes, at first she was a little quiet and I thought that we wouldn't get along, but turns out she was fun and she was cool. And I'm glad I talked to her. And he goes, Dad, thanks for having me talk to her. I really appreciate it. You're right. Like, it did make the time go by faster and she was nice. Sweet. Gave him the phone. What that was, it was a social experiment. In today's episode, I was giving my son an opportunity to have an outcome, but I guaranteed a reward because I didn't know if it was going to go well. If that didn't go well, and if she was so shy that she just kept to herself, she didn't say anything, and she wasn't really answering his questions, then I would have encouraged him to, hey, tell her, hey, want to come to me and go grab something from the fruit or snack bar that they had over there to kind of get her moving around and kind of get her walking with him. But he didn't have to do that. They just started talking. Everything went great. For next thing you know it, boom, they're friends, and next year they'll remember each other now. That social experiment is something I was pushing my son to do, but for lots of reasons. One, you only get better at what you practice. And even though he's very social, when he gets in a mindset of like, I'm tired, I'm over this, I'm hungry, whatever it is, he doesn't really want to be social like most kids. He just wants to sit there and play a video game. So he was uncomfortable in an uncomfortable situation, and I challenged him with doing something he didn't want to do. But I gave him a reward for that challenge. Now, just in that moment, his reward is when I reach out to people socially, when I try to connect people and talk to people, there's a good chance that it may go well and I may get something out of it. Now, of course, I'm not going to let him use my cell phone every time, but I'm challenging you parents to be creative, to come up with ways that you can offer incentives for your kids to be more social. Now, I know a lot of you listening to this will say like, oh, I do it in this particular way. I've done it before. Or in certain situations, you think it hasn't worked. Well, like many things in life, just because we try something and we do it one specific way and it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that we need to give up on trying. We need to figure out a different way to do that thing. So in this case, you know, if you would have said, no, and I don't want to talk to this girl, you know, like even if, you know, you give me an opportunity to play with your phone on the way home, I wouldn't have went straight to a consequence. I would have said, fine, well, if you don't talk to her, then, you know, you're not going to be able to use my phone for the rest of the week. Don't want to give a consequence if he doesn't do it. Instead, I would have said, really? So you don't want to play with my cell phone on the ride home just for talking to this girl for like 10, 15 minutes? And if he said, no, I don't want to do it. I said, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. What would you be willing to do just for having a conversation with this girl? Like what's something you really want? I would just have him think about it. Have him come up with an idea. He may be like, well, I don't know, just, I don't know, nothing. That's okay. Well, let's try again. Don't give up. Keep on pressing forward. Keep on pressing forward and encouraging them and try to come up with different ways to get them to do something social that you think will be better for them. or for their betterment. Now, social chores. This is another good way to do this as well. This is a social experiment, the one that I just shared with you, but social chores. Sometimes kids, they get in trouble. Sometimes they don't do homework. Sometimes they, you know, they falter around certain chores around the house. Giving them a social chore on top of something else or a choice to replace an actual physical chore could be a great way to motivate your kids as well. A social chore could be like, I tell you what, you go play a video game with your sibling. You go help your little sibling with their homework, or you just go watch a movie with them, hang out with them. That's a social chore because it has a couple benefits or multiple benefits. One, it gets them to do something with their sibling, if you were to use this one, that they're choosing to do instead of you forcing them to do it. The reason why they're choosing it is because if you give them this as an option, let's say you can clean the dishes, you can mop the floors, you can do the laundry and do those types of things, or you can just go play a video game with your little brother. They may choose to play a video game with their little brother, giving an option for social chores, because even though it's not like a reward, it is sometimes going to be a better option than the actual chore or consequence they were going to get originally. One parent was very creative. Their daughter came home really late at night, about an hour and 15 minutes past curfew, shows up, had all the regular teen excuses. My phone died. This happened. That happened. The parent said, okay, well, we're not going to talk about it now. We'll talk about it in the morning. The daughter was like, I'm going to be in trouble, huh? And the parent's like, you know what? Normally you would be, but I got an idea of something else that maybe you could do instead of having to be grounded. So the girl's like, oh, okay. So, but don't worry. Let's talk about it in the morning. So the mom said, you can either be grounded from hanging out with your friends all next weekend. Now, this was during the school year. It was a while ago. You can either be grounded from your friends from hanging out all next weekend, or you could do something else. And she was like going, okay, so what else could I do? I mean, because I don't want to be grounded next weekend. She had plans. She did not want to miss out on doing anything with her friends. She said, the mom said, will you help your little sister with her math homework? You're really good at math. Then she goes, will you also, because a teenager, you know, was able to drive, can you take your brother to practice? And then after practice, can you take him to In-N-Out and grab a burger with him? Because he's just been struggling lately and I don't know what's going on. And you seem to have a pretty good relationship with him. Just maybe going eating with him and asking him some questions, how practice is going, stuff like that. Maybe you could get him to open up and talk about some things. And the daughter looked at her mom like, wait, that's it? She's like, yeah, that's it. She's like, and if I do that, I can still go hang out with my friends next weekend. She goes, yeah. She goes, all right, yeah, I'll do that. I'll help her out with math. So now what happened was when she helped her out with math, she actually was connecting with her little sister. The little sister was, you know, able to learn from her big sister. She was able to show patience for her little sister, and the little sister was able to listen to her as a sister better because sometimes the parents and the little sister, from what they said, they'd fight and argue. Then with the brother. The brother was closer in age. You know, he was like a younger teenager. And so he shared some things with her in that In-N-Out conversation that he had not shared with mom and dad. In fact, I don't think he would have shared this with mom and dad. And then she came to me and told me, hey, this is what he shared. How should I handle this? So I was actually able to get involved and help him just because she took him out to dinner. So the mom, after the whole entire thing happened, the mom said, that was way more impactful and way more meaningful to my family and to what I'm trying to accomplish as a mom than if I would have just had her pick up, you know, her clothes and do some laundry. Those are things that helps me out, but this helps me out in a much bigger way. So that's an example of a social chore. There's other social chores you can give your kids. You can give your kids social chores like, all right, I want you to organize a hangout with your friend group. Or I want you to go to school and I want you to talk to your teacher, get to know different things about three of your teachers. Then come back and tell me the things that you've learned. A couple parents said, gosh, well, what if they just go and make up stuff? I said, nah, you could do something to help make sure that they don't do that. And the parent said, what is that? Well, in this situation, I told the parent, go tell your kid to talk to three teachers, find out about where they're from, some personal information about them, come back and share that information with you. And then what you do is you just simply email the teacher and say, hey, just want to let you know that my kid came home today and said they had a really good conversation with you after class or during class and found out that, you know, you like the same sport that they do or something interesting about you. And so because I just want to send an email to you, just say, thank you for spending some extra time to get to know my kid. Like, that really means a lot. I know you're paid to teach, but, you know, caring and connecting with kids is something that you do because obviously you love what you do. And so I just want to thank you for that. I can tell you as a teacher, knowing lots of teachers, if parents send out those messages, those teachers will remember those parents. Those teachers will consider you as being an ally and on their side instead of someone that's trying to come after you. So if you ever need to connect with that teacher again about something of a more important nature, you already broke the ice, you already given them a compliment, and they're already going to be on your side. So those are some examples of social chores. You can go have them go to talk to teachers, have them go get to know their coach better, have them go and talk to their friends' parents to get to know their friends' parents better. Get creative, you guys, with asking your kids to do things to get their social cardio improved. That's right. I said social cardio. Just like physical cardio, the more you use your physical body, the better your physical body works and the longer it can go for. Same thing with your social. The more you use your social capabilities and use your mind reading abilities by watching people's facial expressions, the more you talk to people, the more input you get from people about how they're thinking and feeling, and the more you know about someone, the more you can find in common with that person as well. So that's today's episode, you guys. Remember, as always, you can follow us on OG Therapy on all platforms, social media platforms, YouTube. And if you want to follow us on Patreon, it's a $5 monthly fee. All you got to do is go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. And on that, you'll get about 3 years of video content and different episodes that I actually never even did on this podcast. But all the podcasts for the past year or so are on there. So you can, if you want to see the podcast, if you want to follow me personally, go to David_KOZWSKI_ on Instagram. That's the only social media platform that I'm active on. And thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Share these episodes with your friends. Like it. And definitely if you think someone else could be of help or could help them in their life, you know, talk to your friends about it. Have conversations. Don't just share it with them. Tell your friends about the things that you've tried from this podcast and if it's worked or not, and maybe ways you've tweaked it or changed it here or there for yourself. And remember, you guys, whenever you're struggling with understanding how to deal with close personal relationships with your kids and your family members, you don't got to guess. You don't got to, like, you know, just walk around saying, okay, what do I do? You don't got to just, you know, read things, you know, offline, top 10 things you can do. You can listen to this podcast. You can do lots of things, read books. But for thank you for coming to OG Therapy, I just want to say thank you for, instead of getting down your knees and saying, please, 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 what I do? You can still do that, but you can also come, press play, and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.